Bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to another episode of Everyone Hates Marketers.com. It's a bit weird to sit here on my own without having a guest on the other side, but I guess that's the name of the game. I wanted to give you an update. About Everyone Hates Marketers and myself. And I think the last time I posted an update on the podcast was when COVID hit a few months ago, and when I tried to give some resources to you to help you navigate the unknown. And then before that, I think it was at the end of 2017 when I shared a few numbers and all that, but after that I didn't do anything. So anyway, long story short, I've left my full-time job. If you didn't know, I was working for a company called Hotjar, which is a behavior analytics tool. I used to manage Everyone Hates Marketers, the podcast, on the side. I used to spend like 4 hours a week on the side on top of my full-time job. And decided it was time for me to move on and to double down on Everyone Hates Marketers, which is almost 4 years old at this stage, which is really fucking insane to think about. I've never spent a penny on advertising, on ads. I did a lot of marketing, obviously, but I didn't have a lot of time to promote the podcast. And yet, thanks to you, we've reached nearly 1 million downloads. We're not quite there yet, but I think it's around 800,000 at this stage. I'm not counting every day, trust me. But on YouTube, if you combine the YouTube views, the audio episode gets posted automatically there. The very popular videos of my two interviews with Seth Godin, as well as so the Spotify downloads and then the normal downloads that you would get from any podcast app. Yeah, we are nearly there. We're nearly at 1 million, which is insane. So yeah, I've decided to go on my own again. I don't know if you know that, but a few years ago, before joining Hotjar, I had my own company called Slices Consulting, and it used to be a conversion rate optimization agency. And at its peak, we were four people. Two people in the US, one in Spain, and myself in Dublin, Ireland. And we were working with big clients, Dropbox, Forest, Ninja Outreach, which are all kind of software business towards the end. But I failed miserably running it properly. We were really struggling to make any money. I had no credibility. It was very difficult to get new clients. And anyway, towards the end of it, I met the CEO of Hotjar through the podcast, and that's how I started working there. So before that, the business that I started, I had a full-time marketing job before that. But I had no existing audience, right? I didn't have a podcast. I had no credibility. I didn't really have a deep expertise in the topic of conversion rate optimization, to be honest. I didn't have a strong support system. Obviously, I was with my fiance at the time, but like, you know, it's tough to relate to people doing this for the first time when you're not an entrepreneur yourself. So I didn't have a coach. I wasn't talking to therapists or anything like that. I was kind of on my own, and I felt very, very isolated, and that took a hit on my kind of mental health. And then towards the end of it, what happened was I was working hard doing business development in Dublin, attending the Dublin Chamber of Commerce, networking this way. I got a few clients this way. I also was paying to speak at conferences and events, believe it or not, but that's for another day. So I got a few clients this way. And then the other thing that I did towards the end was I organized two events around bootstrapping, which is, you know, the way to build a business without external funds. And I interviewed two founders there, and they were like maybe 20-30 people in each event, a bit more maybe. And I really enjoyed my time there. So I was interviewing people live, should I say, in front of the audience, and it was really interesting, and I got some good feedback. people telling me, hey, I enjoy the way you interview people and whatnot. So that turned into Skype interviews, as I remember starting to interview more founders. And then I realized that actually marketers are even more interesting. And so I started to interview them, realized that it wasn't that difficult actually to talk to experts. And I had 10 interviews in the bag without a name or anything like that. So that's when I reached out to a few people, a few Slack communities, forums, and asking for ideas. And the name was suggested to me, and I picked it. And I launched that as a side project. And honestly, it was a breath of fresh air compared to the actual business that I was running. And I realized the difference that I was experiencing in terms of energy levels then, you know, between interviewing people and then running the business on the side. So yeah, one of those people was David Darmanin, CEO of Hotjar. And we had a chat then, really, really nice conversation. We kept in touch, and he told me that there was an open role I could apply to, which I did, after talking to my team and saying, listen, I can't go on anymore. And to backtrack a bit, Slices Consulting, the conversion rate optimization I was running, I always, you know, made a point to be very transparent with them. So they had access to finances. They had access to my brain as well. I was being very open about my struggles mentally. And so when I told them, hey, it's time for me to stop, they understood and they knew. So I helped them find a job, and I supported them this way. And then I joined Hotjar for nearly 4 years. So yes, my experience at Hotjar was fantastic. I think I had, you know, I've learned so much about how to run an actual business. The company was growing really fast when I joined. I think they were already at, I think it was around 7 or 8 million annual revenue dollars. And yeah, when I joined, I mean, things were moving so fast, hiring new people, growing the marketing budget, adding more features, improving the product. I mean, it felt so different than the agency I was running, and I've learned so much from it. The company culture there is absolutely amazing. I would recommend you, if you're looking for a job, remote job, to check out careers.hotjar.com. Check them out, check what they do. I would really highly recommend you to check them out. So yeah, like, I've learned so much around how to build a good company culture and how they, you know, always hire the right people, making sure that, you know, the process is thorough. How to give radically candid feedback. You know, there was this culture of really giving good feedback, challenging each other, putting your users at the center of everything we were doing. Which is something I spend a lot of time in internally, you know, to set up a lot of interviews, send a lot of surveys, to the point where the marketing team inside Hotjar was known to be the team, and is still known to be the team that, you know, understands users really, really well, because we did a lot of work there, you know, interviewing users, surveying them, doing a lot of work on messaging and positioning. I'll cover that in the next few minutes. And yeah, it was also a remote company, and I've learned a lot about the way things are being run remotely. I've learned about, from the start when I joined, there was already a VP of operations in place. So someone really, you know, in charge of making sure that the company runs smoothly. And that was an eye opener as well, like, knowing to have someone else, you know, taking care of all of this was amazing. And, you know, when I joined to kind of create and the content marketing operations alongside my colleague Fio, and we've learned a lot there in terms of how to build content, how to position it differently, how to scale from almost zero visitor to nearly 200,000 a month. And I also worked a lot on the positioning of Hotjar, because at the time when I joined nearly 4 years ago, we were already discussing, okay, we are being seen as a kind of early stage startup. We want to attract more mature companies while still getting a lot of more free users. And we want to simplify stuff. We want to make sure that the message kind of you know, is in line with what people want because things are changing. And so there was a lot of discussion then there, and that's I pushed hard to for me to work on it. So yeah, I've learned a ton about my experience there at Hodger, and I'm more than thankful about the experience. But you know, in the back of my mind, I kept running the podcast on the side, and I remember talking about it at the very start, saying, hey, you know, I'm more than happy to join, but I also want to make sure I have the ability to run this on the side, which was no problem whatsoever. And I've learned a lot about myself throughout this process, you know. I've learned, even though I was kind of implicit and intuitive about my personality, I actually love to create stuff that radically stands out. I mean, it gives me such a kick to, you know, to build something from scratch, whether it's like content piece, another product, a campaign, make sure that it's radically different, using a method to do that, and getting the result. I think it's just, yeah, it's just a phenomenal kick. And I understood that I actually was very good at this. So, you know, when you think back about the actual mission of the podcast of Everyone Hates Marketers, which is to fight marketing bullshit, when you think about the game, you know, the place people are at the minute, marketers, they're under massive pressure. And that's something I said from the very start. So marketers are under extreme pressure to reach their targets, even more so at the minute with everything that's going on. I think the internet is putting a huge kind of distance between us marketers and the market we are seeking to serve. And as a result, a lot of us are kind of resorting to growth hacks and tactics, and we don't have time, and so we are rushing, and we have to reach our targets at the end of the quarter. And it's just incredibly difficult to get any result this way, especially when, as marketers, we do not have the influence that we should have on the product, which, in my opinion, is a big mistake. You know, marketers should have a say, not only in terms of the message we are talking and telling and the campaigns we are running, but also very much so the product or service that we are selling. If not, then we are just faced by the very difficult position, which is to try to polish a turd sometimes, you know. We are there with a product that is not that good, and we have to embellish it with our marketing to make it look a bit better. And that's, in my opinion, also is the reason why that creates marketing bullshit, right? So the fact that, yeah, we're under massive time and resource pressure, and the fact that we don't have necessarily an influence on the product or service we're selling, and so we are at the end of the cycle of the process, the fact that the internet is putting a massive distance, especially even more today, nowadays, that creates the perfect storm. And I've been playing a lot about this idea of, you know, what's the solution then? And we've talked a lot about it on the podcast, interviewing. I've had the luxury to talk to so many experts, so many people. And through my experience at Hotjar and through the podcast and through other stuff I've been doing, I've realized that actually the solution to that boils down to kind of two things. Number one is to have an audience, understand, like, you know, to have a set of people that you really, really understand very well, their problems, their pains. You understand, you love them in a sense, you enjoy, you know, working with them or serving them, and they have a common kind of, you know, job to be done, pain, problem, something that you can solve, so you obsess over them. And then having a radically different product or service that you offer them so that it stands out against the rest, against competitors in the category. And those two things, I think, solve the pressure that I mentioned above. The fact that you obsess over those people means that there's no distance anymore between you and them. The fact that you have a radically different product that is both compelling and different compared to the rest, something that is not just slightly better or cheaper, something that is truly radically different where you take some risk, that solves the problem of, you know, the obscurity where no one gives a shit and you have to kind of create, you know, growth hacks and try to find, you know, people to care about what you do, even though the product is the same than the rest. So that's the other thing, right? And it also solved the problem of the fact that you can't touch the product, because as a as a marketer, I think we need to demand the fact that we are, we want and we need to have access to the product. And so the radical differentiation, which is a term coined by Martin Neumayer in his book called ZAG, is to me, you know, when I really kind of researched about it and thought about it for a long time, that's the solution. That's why I think the best, most popular episode on the podcast all touch that on that topic. I have very fond memories of the podcast with Paul Meller, for example, on Take Fucking Risk, which is all about confidence and taking risk, creating something radically different. Obviously, the two episodes with Seth Godin, where we talk about that in at length. Obviously, Seth Godin being the author of Purple Cow, talking about that topic at length years and years ago. I mean, in this book, he talks about the fact that marketers should have a say, and to create remarkable products, you have to be able to be involved in the process. So, yeah, I've thought hard about it, and I thought, listen, this is actually what I'm very good at. This is actually what I enjoy the most. This is actually what I can help you the most. And so, yeah, when you think about it, I've done a lot of stuff in that space. This very podcast you're listening to right now has been done in a radically different manner. Removing any ads, removing boring guest intros, talking about one thing in specifically to teach people how to do stuff, you know, without the bullshit, instead of this kind of boring ads, boring intro, with questions that are just boring as well, where the host doesn't really listen to the interviewee, all of that has been removed. And it grew from nothing to nearly 1 million thanks to that. As I said, I didn't do any ads. So it goes back to what I described. I didn't need to use growth hacks. I didn't need to use like short-term tactics. It grew thanks to the fact that it was radically different in essence, and thanks to the fact that I obsessed over you to understand what you would like to hear. I also have good memories as a kid where, you know, I never really got along with my mom that much. And to get her attention, I was very much, you know, trying to find ways to be noticed by her. And I don't know, for some reason, it turned into a kind of a defense mechanism for me, always seeking attention from others. And to the point where I got called an intellectual terrorist by one of my teachers. So this kind of, you know, thinking of how to find something that is radically different, how to kind of poke holes into other people's thinking and challenge the status quo, that's always kind of been embedded in me. And again, now that I say it, it's obvious, but this is kind of the things where, you know, you don't know until it surfaces. And for Hotjar, I've been very lucky to have been involved in the repositioning of Hotjar. From like nearly 2 years ago where we started to work on it all the way to now. So when I joined Hotjar, we were positioning it as the all-in-one analytics and feedback tool. And through research, so we've run a lot of interviews. I think I've talked to nearly 100 customers. We've sent a lot of surveys. We've done further analysis with the business intelligence team that my colleague Andrew Michael built. We've obsessed over them for so long that we were able to actually deep dive into the actual rediscover and reposition Hotjar to make sure it was very, very, very relevant to people. Because our messaging was still the new tool to help you, you know, understand users or something like that, right? So the company was already 3 or 4 years old at this stage and was starting to get old. So we couldn't say that anymore. So we had to do a lot of work. And through that, yeah, we managed to repositioning it to be behavior analytics, not just all-in-one analytics and feedback, and to truly understand the uniqueness of Hotjar, which is the fact that we go beyond traditional analytics to understand what people really do on your website. And that sentence is something we worked very hard on. And if you kind of distill it down, we lead against the status quo, which is the traditional website analytics tools. We don't name... we didn't name Google Analytics specifically. We named the game that we want to change, like the status quo that we want to move. We discovered through interviews and surveys that, you know, almost every single one of the people we talked to were using traditional web analytics tools like Google Analytics to understand their user, and they were struggling to do so, and which is why they were using Hotjar on top of it. And that single insight enabled us to create this positioning, which is, you know, we lean against traditional web analytics, saying, hey, you should use them still, but we give you the data and the insight that you wish you had with them, and that they simply can't give you. And so that's why we turned that on its head. And so, yeah, we go beyond traditional web analytics tools to help you, so you can really understand what people really do on your website. And again, I didn't use very, very complicated words here when I say what people really do on your website, because that's been a common theme throughout the entire conversations that we had, surveys, interviews and whatnot. We didn't have to think very hard in terms of why do people pick us, what do they love, and what's the job they are hiring Hotjar to do. In that case, it was to see what people were really doing on their website. And this is why we renamed the tool to be a behavior analytics tool. We kept the word analytics because it's still part of the wider category that encapsulates traditional web analytics as well as us. But we added behavior as a single word to simplify it, because that's what people want to know. They want to understand how people behave on the site. With traditional web analytics, you understand, you know, the pages that are being visited, where people are coming from, but you don't know what they are actually doing on the pages, right? So that's also been a radically different kind of radical differentiation work. We're lucky to have Hotjar being an extremely easy tool, which gives you maybe 20% of the features, but 80% of the benefits compared to alternatives out there. And so we were able to surf on that and use that throughout. So that's been with great success, where the company grew from, you know, I think 7-8 million when I was there to 25 million now. And I'm not saying this is just thanks to the positioning work. Obviously, there's way, way more than that. Far from it. And I'm not responsible for that growth. I want to make it clear. But, you know, it's all small things that add up to something big. And we've done a lot of tests on the website in terms of, you know, messaging and whatnot with this new positioning, and all of those changes led to some good increase in conversion rate. So it's been really nice. And on the other side as well, as I told you, because I was hired originally to be as the content strategist, then I moved down to senior marketing strategist towards the end. And we also use kind of the radical differentiation framework there for the pieces that we were developing with my colleague Fio. So an example of that was the user persona blog post. We created the user persona blog post. User persona as a keyword was extremely difficult to rank for, and yet, most folks, most articles out there covering the topic say the same thing. You know, you just kind of make them up, and you use their age and their role and whatnot, and you just, you know, go into a room with your colleagues and just make them up, and then at the end there is this beautiful template and this is your user persona. And we challenged that status quo. I've interviewed a client of ours that was using Hotjar to actually create user personas themselves. So they were using the survey feature on the website, where they were asking simple questions, three simple questions, to actually create real personas from real data, real people. And we published that piece. We went all in. We could have diluted it a bit and just mentioned what everyone else was saying, but we didn't. And that piece alone, I think, is ranks in the first, maybe the top three in Google. And we've replicated that so many times. We did the same for like usability testing, where we position it not as a, you know, just yet another guide on usability testing that just talks about random boring stuff, but more in terms of what it is and what it's not, because we realized that there was a lot of confusion around it. So we went all in there. Recently as well, we've done to talk about radical differentiation a bit. Before I left, we launched an event, a virtual event. And as you know, virtual events were absolutely everywhere and are still everywhere. And so worked hard on the, you know, how can we do things differently here? Like if we do something, if we do an event and try that as a channel, let's do something radically different. So scratched my head for a long time, and I remember I just exposed myself to the problem first and say, okay, let's just think of the problem. We want something to do that is radically different. I remember looking on LinkedIn to see comments around virtual events. I just did the search function just to see, you know, what are people's feelings toward it. I also looked at, you know, myself in terms of what do we hate about virtual events. You know, they're long, they're boring, they're salesy. You don't learn much. It lasts for a day, you know, of stuff, and you'd be lucky if you learn anything new. All of that. So I remember waking up the next morning after just reading all of the stuff, and it just came to me. We at meetups where the people at Hoja were meeting up every 6 months, the operations team run lightning learnings sessions where everyone would speak for 5 minutes only on the topic of their choice internally, right, to the Hoja team. And so that's when it hit me, and that's when we decided to do a 5 minute lightning learning virtual event, and really doubling down on the number five and doing something like 5 days, five talks per day, 5 minutes each. And we run that. It was called the Lightning Talks by Hoja. We run that, and it got a lot of traction. We got, I think, nearly 17,000 attendees, which was fucking phenomenal. We promoted it internally to our users a lot, so that explains the number. But still, I think if the proposition would have been like yet another virtual event, I don't think we would have gotten that much. So I love that as well. Loved working on that. And again, it's applying the same thing, you know, the radical differentiation thinking. And then finally, actually, at Slices Consulting before that, I mean, my own agency, I kind of looked back and realized that the projects I really enjoy working the most on were companies working with Dropbox or Forest, which is a salon software, on their actually value proposition, on their positioning, trying to challenge them on that. And I remember that was kind of the thing that I enjoy working the most on. So, you know, connecting all of those dots, getting feedback at Hoja and other places about, you know, the fact that they enjoy the way I position stuff and think differently and go all the way. I think it made sense, right? So to summarize, the thinking is, yeah, let's fight marketing bullshit together. There's too much pressure on us. The targets that we have to reach, the fact that there's so much distance between us and our market, and the fact that we can't influence the product, or that we are not in a position to do so. And I think the solution to that is radical differentiation. You know, Pep Leia from CXL talks about it a lot recently, and is talking about fighting sameness, you know, and I think it's the same fight. It's about fighting the fact that, shit, like, we need to take some risk, or else we're going to face obscurity. We're never going to be noticed. We're going to have to use growth hacks and shady marketing tactics to be noticed. And it's just going to be, you know, the race to the bottom for attention, as Seth Godin mentioned. So it's time to do something fucking different, and I want to help you do that. I think that's as simple as. So I don't have like a massive 5-year plan in front of me that I could distill down to you, but here's a few things, a few pointers. So first of all, I've sold 15 seats to an early stage, early access program called Stand the Fuck Out, which is to help folks to make their product or service radically different. So I got super lucky to have 15 people who joined. The price was $500 per seat, 15 people. And I did that through just my email list. Just send one email to you, and I asked if you were interested, and then I sent a few emails to the people who said they were. A few more people applied, and I selected 15. So that's running October, November. The aim there is to learn as much as possible about the methods I'm teaching, the method I've used throughout the years on radical differentiation. And making sure that, you know, we have the confidence to take some fucking risk, the confidence to create or modify the product or service to radically stand out, the confidence to create a customer experience that is radically different from the rest. And so, yeah, this program is 8-week long. One lesson per week, one live group calls per week. And then the aim is to launch the second cohort in February, March 2021, next year. And based on the feedback I'm going to receive from those first guinea pigs or students, whatever you want to call them. The other plan is to be super open with you, like I'm doing right now. So I'm going to post on the podcast way more updates. And that's the first one, so expect more on that. I also ran a live streaming session this week around the strategy going forward for Everyone Hates Marketers. If you go on YouTube and search for Everyone Hates Marketers. And I think the next bigger thing for me is going to be to talk about radical differentiation way more so I can help you out. There's a lot of episodes where we talk about the topic. There's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of questions. How do we actually create something that is radically different? How do we convince our boss to go for it? How do we do it when we don't have that much money? How to do it when, you know, I'm launching just a side project or when I have a massive product and a lot of customers? There's a lot of questions there, and I seek to kind of answer them for free and share as much as I can on the topic. So expect to hear way more about that soon. It's very likely that I will post some episode on the podcast specifically on this, where I kind of analyze companies who do radically stand out and kind of analyze the way they've done it, suggest some different approaches, share some more examples on my experience doing it and all of that. So yeah, that's the first update. I guess the next step for you, because if you're listening to this at the gym or driving your car and whatnot, I think the best thing I can ask you to do is really to keep supporting me, listening to the podcast, joining the email list on the site everyonehatesmarketers.com, so you know what's up. And if stand the fuck out, the next cohort is of interest, so if you want to know more about it, please email me or tweet at me or send me a LinkedIn message. My email is Louis, Louis, at everyonehatesmarketers.com. And don't be a stranger, reach out, love to hear from you. And that's it for today's first update. It's been quite nice to do that. So yeah, looking forward to hearing what you think, and don't be a stranger. Like, you know, if you have any thought whatsoever, just drop me an email and I'd love to hear from you. Bye-bye.